Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
Well, it's Pentecost Sunday. It's not a bad start, eh? It's great to see everybody. I'm not going to bring a word now as such, because obviously partly the time, but also God's been doing what he wanted to do. And part of that was just crowning us afresh with himself. And sometimes that takes time. That we're not rushing in and out of being with him, but, you know, coming before him, just taking time to be with him. And when you do that, every morning, every day, whenever, he crowns you in those moments. It's not just, oh, there's a crowning moment on Pentecost Sunday or whatever. But when you spend time with him, he comes. He's here. He's within you. He's as much here now as he ever will be. But when you spend time with him, you become more aware of him. And he crowns you because he loves it when we spend time with him. So I'm just going to share a couple of things, give you a little bit of an update of the time that Jane and I and Sylvia Reed, we were in Israel, not this last week, but the week before, got back Monday. Just give you a little bit of an update, but then that will link into a couple of scriptures that we'll just look at this morning. There's a lot going on in the world, but God is on the move. Amen. How many of you believe that? God is on the move. So great seeing loads of you guys from different congregations. Great to be together, eh? So why did we go to Israel? Well, there are a couple of main things we were doing, involved in, and some people we were also going to be spending some time with. And now's not the time to get into all the ins and outs of what is happening there. I will give you, remind me if I forget, I'll give you at the end three different news feeds or websites that are good to listen to get good information from, okay, rather than what you see on the mainstream media, okay? I'll give you some other stuff which will really help you see a completely different picture and understanding to what is going on there and what's happening there, rather than just what is being pummeled at people through the mainstream media. It's very difficult when you've had so much of one narrative, if that's all you see, to then hear something else. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants to give, it's like we've said before, you can have a picture, and if you only see the bottom corner, and that's what the mainstream media are showing, that's what you think is going on. And when you pan back and you see the bigger picture, some of the realities and what's really going on there, oh, wow, that's a completely different narrative than the mainstream media are portraying. We went for a number of reasons. We were involved in something called the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, which was in Jerusalem. And that was a two-day event, and it was Jewish leaders, rabbis, people from the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, MKs or MPs, Christian leaders, pastors, people in business, people involved in ambassadors, some prime ministers from different nations around the world, people involved representing their nations. It was about 400 people were there, and it was worshipping together, praying together, building relationships between Jewish community and the Christian community. And one of the things that's happening at the moment since October the 7th, 18 months ago, the believing body, messianic, as we would use that word, they don't use that word so much there, but the body of believers who believe in Jesus are have been seen, if you are a Jew and you, in a Jew's mind, convert to Christianity, you're no longer a Jew anymore. You've lost your Jewishness. You've now converted to Christianity. And so the messianic body of believers there is seen as being a bit of a black sheep. You've gone to the dark side because you've converted to the Gentile Christian thing, you know. And there's a lot of history there with the Crusades and how the church has treated Jewish people over the centuries. And one of the things that's happening at the moment is a recognition of Jews that believe in Jesus and how the Messianic community across the country there has been helping, especially on the towns and the kibbutzes along the Gaza border, up in the north as well, where they've been helping in so many different practical ways. With food and clothing, helping to rebuild houses, helping to put bomb shelters in schools and in communities, and just amazing ways. And what that's helping to do is the realization that actually maybe you could be a Jew and actually be a believer. And even one well-known rabbi there, and you can see this on YouTube, the clips are up there. The young couple that were murdered a couple of weeks ago in Washington, they're believers. The lad was a Jew, Jewish believer. This rabbi wanted to go to the family, thinking the family were Christian. And so he went to the family and just wanted to pay his respects. And in that, he said, look, you're a Christian family and, your brother, so he was talking to the guy's brother, said, your brother was a Christian. And the guy looks at him and he goes, he wasn't a Christian. And the rabbi's like, I thought he was a believer in Jesus, you know, he was a Christian. And he goes, yeah, he's a believer, but he's Jewish. And the rabbi's then kind of somersaults in his brain are going on here. It's like, well, hang on a minute. You've got a Jew and then you've got a Christian. The two don't go together, you know. And so he said, I'm on a journey the last few days. I can't get this out of my mind. And he said, and this is how he described it. He said, I'm realizing that between what I understand a Jew to be and what I understand a Christian to be, he says, there's a spectrum. And he said, I think some people are on the spectrum somewhere between what I think a Jew is and what I think a Christian is. And so if there's anybody in the room and you're somewhere on the spectrum, everybody knew what he meant, could you stand up? And I don't know, 40 people or 50 people stood up at that moment, basically saying, yes, I'm Jewish, but I also believe in Jesus. And this guy, he's a well-known rabbi. And we might sit here and go, so what? But in over there, for them to acknowledge that you can still be Jewish and believe in Jesus is revolutionary. And so God is at work in the midst of all of the angst. And at this prayer breakfast, there were Arab Israeli pastors and leaders, and there were Palestinian Arabs that are believers there. And the government and the authorities there are realizing, so you've got Palestinian pastors that believe in Jesus, you've got Arab Israeli pastors that believe in Jesus, and you've got Jewish people, and you all get on, and you all worship together, and you all pray together, and you all love one another. So Ephesians 2, there's one new man in Christ, and they're seeing this being played out, being worked out. They're seeing the reality of that. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. So when we think about Pentecost, we don't just think, because in the Western church, we've translated Pentecost into the early church being born and very much the church being Gentile and you know, but actually, the Holy Spirit came upon a bunch of Jewish people in an upper room, baptized them. They were the early church. They, all the people that on Pentecost that heard all the different, got them praising God in their own languages were Jews that had all come to Jerusalem for the Passover. And so they heard the praise of God in all their different languages. They're, what is this? What is this? What is this? And so that initial 3,000 getting saved in the initial early church were all Jewish. There might have been the odd Gentile in there somewhere, the odd Roman or whatever, but pretty much it was Jewish. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on that day and is still being poured out today. And the evidence of that is the only way there will ever be peace in the Middle East, in Israel, is people coming into Christ. There is no other solution. That's what's happening there, in amongst all of the challenges. So we were there, we were at some, the next couple of days after that, we were at something called Global Prayer Call. A friend of ours, Harold Eckhart, German, based in Munich, runs a global sort of prayer, consultation, prayer things. There's online things, people gather at different points to pray, and a whole bunch of us were meeting together for a couple of days. And it's very much about the nations and Israel, praying into very specific things that are going on within Europe, within the UN, in the nations connected with Israel. And there's lots of 24/7 prayer houses in Jerusalem, but there's one called Sukkot Halal. And it's amazing. Their prayer room's got these huge, great windows, and it looks over the old city, over the Temple Mount. What an amazing place to pray. You walk into that room and you walk into the presence of God. It's like, it's just, he's just there. And it's an amazing place to worship and pray, and just the heart of God for the people there, and what is what's happening. And then we met with some different people that we know well, good friends. One of them heads up a ministry that works with Jews and Arabs across the Middle East, and it's amazing. I'm not sure what I can say and can't say because this is being streamed, but it's amazing how God is. There's relationships between Messianic pastors, leaders, and Arab leaders, both within Israel, but also across the Middle East in different nations. And again, it's this one new man that is going on. And yes, there's some challenges because of everything that's going on at the moment, but it's amazing this heart that many Arabs have for Israel and for the Jewish people. We met another friend who leads something called FIRM, Friends of Israel-related ministries, and FIRM is like an umbrella organization that works with 60 or more either Messianic congregations or ministries that are working across Israel. There's so many different ways people are being reached and helped, and it's a lot of those kind of ministries that have made an impact where both the government, local governments, mayors, all sorts are inviting believing community in to getting involved in things. Amazing. And then a friend of ours who's based in Bethlehem, who's a journalist, and again, without saying what he does, is amazing what he's doing. Runs a radio station and various other things. And obviously Bethlehem is where Palestinians live, Palestinian Arabs live in Bethlehem. And God is moving there too. And there's some really good churches within Bethlehem. The pastors are spirit-filled. Love Israel, love the Jewish people as well. And so God's at work in and things that we would never hear on the news, obviously, but God is at work. Let me just give you a few things, if you want to jot these down. If you want a good news information, just write this down. All Israel News. You can Google them and you can sign up for their emails. All Israel News. It's run by a guy called Joel Rosenberg. Then there is something based in Europe run by a guy called Andrew Tucker. Some of you would have heard him or know of him. He's been here, spoken here before. He runs something called Think, T-H-I-N-C, Think. Okay, if you just Google Think and then put Andrew Tucker, it will come up with their website. And again, you can sign up and get in emails. And then the third one is Tikkun Global. Tikkun is T-I-K-K-U-N, Tikkun Global. If you Google them and you can sign up for their emails. So they'll give you a different breadth. All Israel News will give you a lot of news articles, up-to-date information, what's going on, stats, figures, info, that is the real info on the ground, okay, as to what's happening there. And the figures that you hear on the media are not the true figures of what is going on, without getting into all of that. Now, the Think guys, they work in international law and they are brilliant. They work in the UN, they work in the EU, they work to lobby the courts in The Hague, that are where the EU courts are, and the courts for Europe, the EU courts. And so they fully understand the legal legitimacy of Israel in international law. And what they do is they're working to help bring an understanding and a legal narrative. They do other stuff. They have other teaching in there, but it's mainly around the legal stuff. If you understand that, that is really helpful too, okay? The legal side, because you hear a lot of things said on the media about illegal occupation and all of that. Israel are not illegally occupying anything. According to international law, because they only go back to 1967, all the newsboys, but if you go back earlier than that, in terms of what is ratified in international law, Judea and Samaria, which everybody calls the West Bank, Judea and Samaria belongs to Israel. It's Israel's land. They've not taken it. They've not stolen it from anybody. In international law, it belongs to Israel. And it's called Judea and Samaria. It's not called the West Bank. It's called Judea and Samaria. When you hear things on the news, Israel illegally occupying or the occupied territories, it's not true. They're not occupying anything. Why is this important? Because ultimately it's God's land. And if the nations mess with God and what belongs to God, there are consequences.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the UK. We need to pray for our leaders. Because on the 17th, 18th and 19th, some of you might be thinking, what's this got to do with Pentecost Sunday? Well, we've just had an amazing hour and a quarter meeting with the Lord, right? And this is really important because we need the Holy Spirit to be moving, well, say, it's like we're saying the Holy Spirit is moving. We just want to join in and pray with what the Holy Spirit is doing, right? On the 17th, 18th and 19th of June, France and Saudi Arabia are I don't know what the right word is, but they're doing something in the UN in New York for 3 days where there's a huge thing about a two-state solution. Now, that's being supported and backed by our own country, our own government at the moment, by Canada and other nations supporting that. We don't need our nation to be supporting a two-state solution.
That's right.
Because what that is dividing up God's land.
Right.
Now, biblically, when you divide God's land, it doesn't go well with you.
That's right.
As a nation.
Yeah.
And so we need to pray. So there's a few of us, some of us, I'm not doing this as a church thing, okay? This will be down to you if you want to do this or not. But there's a few of us that are going to be praying and fasting for those 3 days on June 17, 18 and 19, okay? If you want to, we'll give you a little bit more info next week about it and how we're going to pray. So if you want to join, I'm not standing up today saying, right, as a church, we're going to do 3 days of prayer and fasting. We're going to have a week of prayer and fasting towards the end of the month into early July. But if you want to pray and fast for those 3 days, then we'll give you some info that will help you to pray. And we'll have some prayer things you can come to if you want and join in with us and pray. Because our nation does not need to support dividing God's land.
Amen.
So some of you here might be thinking, well, don't the Palestinians need their own land? It's complicated. We see when they have their own land, like they have Gaza, the people that are in charge don't want Israel to exist. They don't want the Jewish people to exist. So whether it's Gaza or somewhere else, the inherent spirit that is at work, and whether you call it an ideology or whatever you want to call it, it will carry on. A two-state solution will not solve anything. And that's what a lot of Western leaders, they don't get. And when you're over there and you talk to not just the Israeli guys, but also the Arabs, they're like, the West just doesn't understand what's going on here. They don't understand the mindset, and without going into details. So we want to pray. Now, we're going to pray for our government and our nation, but also we're going to be praying. God is moving. The only answer there is salvation. The only answer is the reconciliation of Jew and Arab together in Christ. That is the only answer. And it's a miracle answer, but we believe in miracles. Amen.
Amen.
So that was a little bit of a... I mean, there's loads I could say about the trip, being there. And the Palestinians, the circumstance for them is not good. It really isn't a good scenario for them. But it's not Israel's fault.
That's right. That's right.
If Hamas did lay down their weapons and gave all the hostages back, they would immediately stop. Israel would stop doing what they're doing immediately. And I know what you see on the media looks like a... And even while we were there, the week we were there, there were things that were communicated on our media that were total opposite to what actually went on. How they portrayed what Israel are doing. And it wasn't Israel. It was Hamas that were killing people in Gaza, shooting people for taking food. And it's just... the narrative is so twisted. But that's the enemy. The enemy twists the truth. Amen? Anyway, so we want to pray. We need to pray for the Palestinians. You know, God is moving. Palestinians are coming to Christ. They're coming to know the Lord in the midst of all the stuff that's going on. People having visions and dreams and encounters with God in the midst of all of what is going on. So God is at work, and God is, and it's a tough one when it's a scenario like that. So just to finish, to come back, I know time's gone. Two Timothy 1, I'm just going to read these verses because it connects with the baptism of the Spirit, Pentecost, and the purpose of the power. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this, "Fan into flame the gracious gift of God, the inner fire, the special endowment which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or about me, his prisoner. But with me, take your share of suffering for the gospel." Do not be ashamed to testify about the Lord. Why does God give us his Holy Spirit? To empower us with boldness and courage so that we're not ashamed of him or the gospel. Amen. But it also says that we'll take our share of suffering for the gospel. Now, the suffering that they faced is not the kind of suffering at this moment that we face in our country. We just get a little bit of a verbal abuse here or there and stuff. But we are going to take a moment to pray. And one of the things that stops us is fear. Fear of what people think, fear if we're going to upset them, fear of not being liked, fear of losing a reputation, there's fear, that fear cripples, fear silences. And the Holy Spirit is opposite to fear. He brings freedom and liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so he empowers us. What does it then say? That we share in the suffering of the gospel, continue to preach regardless of the circumstances, in accordance with the power of God. For he delivered us and saved us and called us with a holy calling. That's what happened in the worship time, a holy setting apart that leads us to a consecrated life. Consecrated life is a life that is set apart, a life of purpose. Not because of works or trying to do things in our own strength or effort, but because of his own purpose and his grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And let's just skip down to 12. This is why I suffer as I do. I'm not ashamed, for I know him whom I have believed with absolute trust and confidence in him and the truth of his deity. And I'm persuaded that he is able to guard that which I've entrusted to him until the day that I stand before him. Verse 13, keep and follow the pattern of sound doctrine or sound teaching, which you've heard from me in faith and love. Those two things, so important, which are in Christ Jesus. Guard, that means with the greatest of care, and keep unchanged the treasure, the precious truth, which has been entrusted to you. That is the good news about salvation through personal faith in Christ Jesus, through the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Let's just stand to our feet, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for what you've already been doing this morning in us, amongst us. And this today reminds us, the Holy Spirit, Pentecost Day, reminds us of the charge that God has given us. The charge that he's given us as believers, the charge that he's given us as a church, and the charge that he gives to the church, to the people of God, to be a witness, to be the sound of God on earth. There's a sound in the church, the sound of God that is different than the sound of the world.
Amen.
It's the sound of love, it's the sound of life, it's the sound of power, it's the sound of healing, it's the sound of deliverance, it's the sound of freedom, it's the sound of forgiveness. There's a sound in the church that is the kingdom on earth to be expressed through the people of God. And it's the charge that we're given by the Holy Spirit. And so we freely received, and so we are to freely give.
Yes,
and if there is any fear right now, any fear of man, fear of reputation, what they'll think, will they like me, will I upset them, and all of that, just lay that before the Lord right now. Father, forgive me for allowing fear to cripple me. Maybe you need to speak that out. I'm praying this about my own, because sometimes it's great. I'm talking with people, other times, oh, I backed off that one, or I didn't do, you know, because we're not perfect. But Father, I repent of fear, where I let the thoughts of that cripple me. Sometimes think of the unknown. Well, what will happen if I go and have that conversation? What happens if I do that? And the enemy likes to put unknown in there. Fear, don't do it, because you don't know what's going to happen. Father, forgive us for fear. Forgive me for fear. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're in me to give the courage, the encouragement, the courage to be a witness for who you are. Sometimes that is this gospel straight. Other times it's just loving people, inviting them into your life, your home, and then things develop from there. And so, Father, we thank you for your power that you've released in us that overcomes every fear. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Therefore, we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of Jesus and who he is in our lives. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We praise and honor your wonderful name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.